Good evening. It's time for Talk of the Bay, K-Squid's evening talk show covering local issues of importance to local residents right here on Community Radio K-Squid. I'm your Thursday evening host, Rachel Ann Goodman, and today on the program we have a double header. We have a conversation about a proposed ordinance by the Santa Cruz County Supervisors and Planning Commission that would regulate, and in some people say open up the floodgates for, backyard commercial camping. Is it already happening and it's too late to shut the barn door after the horse, or is it something we can get our arms around and make work for everybody? That conversation will be the first half of the program. Then in the second half of the show, we'll hear from Kendall Edwards. He's walking across America. He's already walked 4,000 miles and he's walking through Santa Cruz and Monterey counties to raise awareness about mental health and addiction issues. I caught up with him as he rolled through town, and we'll hear an interview with him about why he's doing this and what it's been like to walk the roads of the United States. All that coming up on Talk of the Bay. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. Stay tuned. Well, as I mentioned in the intro, Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, in addition to the Santa Cruz County Planning Commission, are proposing an ordinance that would regulate backyard camping. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up camping in the woods, and it was the most positive experience of my life. It changed everything about how I saw the wilderness and nature and community. And I feel still at most at home sitting around a campfire. And I know a lot of people come to Santa Cruz and Monterey counties to have that experience, and it's a magical one if you can have that experience. However, given the world of Airbnb, now it was almost inevitable that a whole industry would arise outside of the radar of regulators, where people are renting out space in their backyard to campers, knowing that the campgrounds fill in the summer, knowing that sometimes it's too expensive, but often it's just simply sold out. And the people who are providing these camping experiences, I think, are doing it maybe for varying reasons. Some just want to make money. Others feel this sort of a mission to share what they have with people who can't have that experience. In either way, there are some serious oppositions to this proposed ordinance, which has not gone through yet. And it is also being discussed at the state legislative level right now. So we're going to talk about that with resident Nancy Killey, who is a resident of Bonnie Doon, like I am. And she is staunchly opposed to this for a number of reasons. But before we get into all of the reasons you're opposed, I would like to talk about what this is proposing to do to regulate what's already happening, right? We know it's happening because we see There's been a couple of busts of people who just kind of went completely overboard and had 100 people in a rave camping on their property. But there's a lot more that you can find on, what is it, hipcamp.com? If you just go on there,
yes,
Hipcamp, you can find people doing this already, and it's unregulated. So the county, it sounds like, wanted to get ahead of this, even though they're behind. It's already happening, right? And they also wanted to get some money out of the occupancy tax. But what they didn't maybe anticipate was the communities that might be impacted feeling besieged and also having just recovered from a fire. So let's talk about what it will allow, because obviously it's not going to allow 100 people at a rave, right?
No, but it will allow up to 36 campers.
At a time, at individual a time. People. I think I read nine campsites.
They said that one of them could have 10 people as long as you simply didn't exceed 36 in total. Ideally, it would be 9 campsites. If you had tents, it could be 4 tents on each of the sites.
And I think it was one RV and a yurt was also allowed on top of the
car
camping.
You can have 9 RVs, but as long as you don't exceed the 36-person limit. So you'd have to have 4 people in that. You can have yurts or tents or domes. Incidentally, none of those are allowed under Airbnb, which I find rather ironic.
Interesting. The other things it allows for campfires. It allows for people manage it, but they don't have to be on site, which I found interesting. There has to be like a site manager, so it can't just be a free-for-all, like check in at the gate and do the combo and pay us on PayPal.
Well, that's not exactly accurate, because they're saying that you can have a manager as long as they're within a 15-minute phone call away.
They don't have to be on site.
They don't have to be on site. And of course, large portions, pretty much all of Bonnie Doon, a lot of the San Lorenzo Valley, which are prime areas for this, do not have cell coverage. That's a concept that's very hard for people to understand.
There are pockets that don't have
that
it.
That don't.
Yeah. And a lot of people fight, you know, someone putting up a tower. So there's all this, there's a lot of, we don't want any of it, including
cell phones.
There are no
cell towers at all in Bonnie Doon. And we've been trying to get some, and there are lots of reasons why that hasn't been successful. But at the moment, if you don't have a landline, the only way you have of communicating is using Wi-Fi on your computer. If you are in a campground away from that, you will have no cell phone coverage. So if you accidentally start a fire, or if a camper is injured, how do you get help?
Indeed. These are issues that people raise. There were a number of people at the Planning Commission meeting, as well as at the Board of Supervisors. And I do have a note from Zach Friend's assistant, Allison Violante, which I would like to read in a moment. But I also want to offer the opportunity for people to discuss this on the air. We have about 25 minutes. If you'd like to join the conversation by phone, you are welcome at 831-900-5773. Or you can email us at onair@ksqd.org, and I can read your question. We are not experts. I did reach out to Zach Friend's office, and I reached out to Justin Cummings. They're both out of town this week, so I'm hoping in the weeks to come I can get them in the studio and get their perspective on this topic. I did work on it, but I wanted to give you the opportunity before I was out for a couple of weeks to talk about this. It's coming back again before the supervisors, I believe, in June. I think they tabled it. They were getting ready to vote on it, but there was a lot of community outrage, and so they postponed it.
There was a big push. They began working on this, if I understand correctly, on December 21st. The goal was to have it before the Board of Supervisors at their March meeting in order to finalize it. And it was very interesting at the Planning Commission meeting, which we found out about at 8 o'clock at night before the meeting, to discover when our representatives from Justin Cummins' office asked if anyone in North County had been notified about this. We were told no. Well, why not? We had interested stakeholders, all of whom were South County. They also referenced the fire marshal and CAL FIRE as having given their blessings. The fire marshal was there, and he stood up and he said, "That's not right. I haven't. I do not approve of this. You don't have to have water at these sites. So if there's a fire, there's no way of combating it. I want to have 10,000-gallon containers, which are required for anybody rebuilding post-CZU fire or building new." And the planning group there, the planners, said that would be too onerous. No, we will not do that.
It sounds like there are people who would support this if it had certain safeguards, but they seems to the criticism I've been reading sounds like most people are against it because of the lack of things like fire, water on site. I've been at a private event that was on private property down in Southern California, and they were so strict because they've had fires.
We have too.
But everyone had to bring water. Everyone had to have drills when you got into this event. So people know how to do this, but it's not being required by this. What do you think about this idea that it's already happening? So rather than either stop it completely, which sounds like outside of the county's budget, given they're at a big deficit because they're still paying for the cleanup of our county from storms a year ago, and they're now suffering financial harm from that. But rather than just say, don't do this, does it seem like it's worth regulating?
It might be, but there are definitely some things that need to happen if they're going to do that. We are terrified of fire, especially in my community. About a third of it burned. We still have a lot of people with PTSD, me among them. It was a horrifying experience. and the thought of having fire again, we've all done burns. We have to get permits to do that. They have to be within certain times of the year. You have to have a hose with water. There have to be people there and equipment to take care of it. This ordinance is going to encourage people to come, not from Santa Cruz, but from everywhere in the state. If you haven't been in the woods and done a burn and had your heart race when you realize that even though you're prepared for it, it's rushing up a tree and it may get away from you, it really frightens us to think that inexperienced people are going to come in and do this. So if we're going to have an ordinance like this, we need water. We need to have an on-site manager or some way for people to communicate if there's a problem. We need to have a light ordinance because there isn't one in the county. I live above a property that started having raves a couple of years ago. They billed themselves as Burning Man West. The forest is not Burning Man.
That's a terrible name for a community.
Oh, no, they thought this was going to be great. And they did these things. The final, after a year and a half of trying to get it shut down, numerous calls to the sheriff's department and the fire department, because they were having bonfires that were 20 feet tall and at 1:30 in the morning, and you could see them from across Empire Grade on the other side of it. It was just really frightening.
It's almost like, but you need an ordinance that's just called Don't Be So Stupid, but well, you know, not everybody knows.
It was not stupid. They were informed. They knew. They just didn't care. In fact, they came to my house shortly before the second anniversary of the CZU fire, and they said, oh, we'll be really good because we know that people are upset. Their idea of being really good was to take down all the different colored strobe lights that they had up so that only red ones remained, and then to scream all night long so that if you were awakened by this, it looked like the woods were on fire. That's cruel.
That sounds cruel and terrifying for the people nearby.
I didn't want to really get into that, but there needs to be a light ordinance because their lights were on 24/7. They had them on cranes. They hoisted them above redwood trees. That's really inappropriate, not only for residents around there, but also for animals, you know, owls and any night creatures, you know, anything like that.
You're making some very convincing arguments for why, as written, this might not be effective in regulating the kind of behavior you're talking about. I can also see for people who have farms, and we know farming is a very difficult occupation to make a living, and they have enough acreage where they didn't have to be anywhere near a neighbor, I could understand some sort of farm camp setup that wouldn't be bothering the neighbors, and it would be safe, and it would be educational. There was one letter of support that came from Live Earth Farms, where they do kids camps, you know, educational camps for kids at their farm. And it's not about, you know, roasting marshmallows. It's about teaching environmental education. So maybe that's a different permit.
That might be highly appropriate, but not in the midst of a fire zone.
And does beg the question, where isn't a fire zone in the county? I mean, pretty much everywhere, depending on the drought year, is in danger. They had big fires near Corralitos, you know, in Watsonville, too. So.
Well, I think the ordinance says that they wouldn't allow this in high fire zones, just in high zones or moderate zones. Most of the CZU fire was in a high zone or a moderate zone.
Well, does that reassure you then it would not be happening there?
Because we know that fires can't happen there. Mm-hmm. So that's not
Wait, I'm a little confused by what you said. So they wouldn't have it in a high fire zone.
In an extremely high fire zone, I'm sorry.
And we're not designated? Bonnie Doon is not extremely?
We are designated high fire zone.
So there's some adjustments, perhaps, that would be made to make this anywhere near palatable to people living and still recovering from this. We do have time for some calls if you have an opinion about this. Maybe you have a farm and you're hoping to make a little bit of money, or maybe you're really against this and you want to bring up a different issue. We do have a few more minutes of the show. If you have something you'd like to say, it's 831-900-5773. And Nyonko is there. He can pick up your call. Or we do have an email which we can pick up and read your comments if you have one. And let me just check and see if any have come in. Not yet, but will, perhaps. I did want to read what Zach Friend's assistant wrote to me, because I think it's important. The supervisor is in Sacramento for a conference and can't be there, but has received a handful of letters on this topic. And she writes, "It does seem there's a lot of misunderstanding among the public about what's being proposed. The proposal limits camping to one site per parcel unless the state passes a law that allows for more. The goal of the Planning Commission and Board was to create a framework to exist in the space between where we are now, which is that these are happening anyway without regulation, and when the state passes regulation, and of course nobody knows, this is my commentary, how long that's going to be. Unfortunately, the public seems not to be reading what is proposed, but conflating the potential maximum, which can only happen under certain circumstances, and concluding it will be 36 people, and envisioning previous bad actors, which would be prohibited under the proposal, given the inclusion of limits on sound, events, stay duration, etc. As you know, this will be coming back to the Planning Commission for further discussion before returning to the board. Hopefully the public will have a chance to better understand what is being proposed and the reason for doing so as it proceeds through the process." So that's from Zach Friend's assistant, Allison Biolante, as Zach couldn't be here.
May I just mention, I did have a conversation with Zach, and my parcel is the perfect situation for this. It's zoned for timber production. It has lovely ocean views. I have almost 38 acres. But also part of this ordinance is that I can have campsites within 200 feet of my neighbors. 200 feet is nothing. That's where you put on your blinker to make a left turn, or three houses down if you live in the city. And you could also be within 50 feet of a property line. Dogs are okay in this ordinance. We've got lots of little animals running around. We don't really want them eaten or chased. CEQA rules are not planning to be enforced, again, because it's too onerous. So protection for wildlife and water is not part of this. I'm trying to think of some of the other things.
Well, sewage was addressed, and I think they said you had to have a porta potty.
You have to have a porta potty, unless, of course, you have 9 RVs on your property, and then it's assumed that they will have their own sanitary facilities. And I've talked to some RV owners. It costs about $130 for an empty of those things. So if you're out on property and no one's looking, what do you think you might decide to do? I'm not saying everyone would, but if just a few do, that's really inappropriate. The biggest concern is that this would be unsupervised, so any rules or regulations that would be put in place with no one there to enforce them, assuming 99% of campers are really sweet and really conscientious, all it takes is a few of them to set the woods on fire or to do any numbers of things. I spoke with the sheriff, the lieutenant in charge of patrols. There is one patrol officer at night for the San Lorenzo Valley, Bonnie Doon, and Davenport. They can't be everywhere at once. We were told if there's a problem, call the sheriff. We learned the hard way. Someone has to be awake after that's done when the sheriff gets there, which may not be until 4 in the morning. If there's a problem, to sign the complaint in order for them to issue a citation. And then there's no action taken unless the county chooses to enforce it. Right now we know of a couple of hip camps, maybe more, in Bonnie Doon.
And just to define hip camp, this is hipcamp.com. It's
right.
A site like Airbnb,
exactly.
Where you can book a space on someone's property. It's not like
right.
Improved space. It's just park your tent here.
And this would be the same thing. We know of those. The county is aware of them. They are not legal. They're not collecting TOT. But the county has not shut them down.
TOT is a transient occupancy tax.
Thank you, yes. One of the things that Zach said is, well, it's too much trouble to do that. It's just too hard. We don't have the resources to do that, to go after them. But once this ordinance is in place, they will, of course, sign up for it and start paying TOT. My logic says if they're doing it now knowing that it's illegal and they're not having to part with any of the money that they make doing this and there have been no consequences, why would they sign up for it? Why, frankly, would anyone sign up for it if there are no consequences? The county needs to enforce the rules to let us feel more comfortable that they will take care of problems if they occur.
Well, maybe this TOT money that they would be collecting, because it could be quite a bit if you add it all up, could go directly into a fund that would be enforcement so that it was self-perpetuating.
That would be helpful, but that's not part of the ordinance as written.
Well, it sounds like they're still in the process of refining it and that it's not final yet. Although there is a pretty solid proposal, I imagine they might be considering amendments if the community has constructive changes.
It was definitely interesting at the planning hearing, especially when the fire marshal said, I really want the water there, and they said no. We talked about fire, and they said, well, we'll just put signs up that you can only have propane and there's no smoking. If there's no one there to enforce it, what makes anyone think that that's going to happen? One of the things that we know from past experience with CAL FIRE is they do not respond to ceremonial or warming fires. So if someone simply declares their fire to be that, there we go. Again, getting back to my property, I could have 9 campsites, 36 people. My property would probably be booked most of the time, but assuming that I gave myself a month off so that I was only doing it 335 days out of the year, that would mean 3,015 trips to my house through my neighborhood, which is a one-lane private road. And that's only counting people coming in, not going out for day trips. That would mean that there would be 12,060 campers there per year, potentially.
Well, I'm
if only
this
1% of them were bad actors, that's 120 times we'd need to call for help.
That's a lot, yeah. So I'm looking at the ordinance, and it said there's only one campsite maximum right now until the SB 620 is approved. So up to 9 after it's approved. So this is actually quite restrictive. They're just saying one campsite maximum. That's what I'm reading here in their overview. So I don't know if you're conflating, as Allison said, the 620, which is at the state level, which hasn't been approved yet, or...
I'm basing this on what was read to us at the Planning Commission, where they said it would be 5-acre parcels could have up to 9. If you went beyond 5 acres, you still were limited to 9. That was what they were proposing.
Well, I would be interested in reading the state bill, which we don't have in front of us, because it sounds like that's much more lenient as far as the number. You can have 14 consecutive days, 28 days per year per camper, up to 9 campsites. But all of that is state, and this says 1 campsite max. So it sounds like when we have our representatives in a week or so, a couple weeks, we can clarify some of this. I'm also looking at a map of the county right now that's on their presentation PowerPoint. And you can get this if you want, santacruzcounty.gov on the Planning Commission meeting agenda. You can find this map, and it pretty much shows where the parcels are. And from what I'm looking at, Bonnie Doon has quite a few.
Yes.
But the biggest one is Scotts Valley. There's more smaller parcels there. Bonnie Doon has a few, but they're very large, except for in this one little neighborhood. I don't know where that is right there. That might be, I'd have to overlay this map with actual road names because it doesn't zoom in with road names. But if you live in a rural part of Santa Cruz County and you're listening, you may very well have a neighbor whose property would be regulated by this ordinance and would allow commercial camping. And I think people who are broke, who are having trouble meeting their mortgage, would be very excited to know they could make money off of their property if this passes. So I'm curious if...
Rachel, I have just one comment to make about that. I was quite concerned. We're all starting to get our insurance dropping us. It's becoming a huge problem.
We covered that last week and the week before.
And one of the things that is concerning is that if there's a campground like this next to you, will your insurance company use this as another excuse for getting rid of you? I spoke with a couple of insurance agents just to ask questions, and was told by both of them that insurance companies that haven't dropped people yet are starting to come out, and every 3 to 4 years they will be checking to make sure people are doing a good job of keeping their property safe. What I was told is if they come out and see that you are doing this, that day your insurance is gone because you're now commercial rather than residential. So good luck with that. And if you try to go to the FAIR plan, they won't insure commercial properties either.
That's a fuzzy area because people who run Airbnbs are not getting busted for being a commercial enterprise.
They probably don't know about it. Well, I know because I did Airbnb at my house for a while and I didn't tell my insurance carrier.
Ah, I can understand why people don't. And that is a huge issue. Well, we have just about run out of time. I want to thank you for making the journey from Bonnie Doon. And if people are interested in following this issue, what are some places you would send them, and also to the Planning Commission and supervisors meeting?
Yes, certainly go there. Talk to your supervisors. The Rural Bonnie Doon Association will be having a big coverage of this at their May meeting. Justin Cummins, who's our representative, will be there, as well as numerous other people with input. Call the sheriff. Call the fire department. Call different people like that and ask what they think of it, because it definitely will place a burden on them if these campsites are allowed. And I know that the San Lorenzo Valley Press, or Post rather, is going to be doing an article on it. I'm not sure when that will be, but soon, so you might be able to if you get that particular paper. We're trying to get publicity for this simply because nobody was told. We didn't know, and most people still don't know that this is happening.
Well, thank you for educating us more about it, and now people are more aware that they've been listening to this program. So thanks for making the trip and sharing with us. Appreciate it. That's Nancy Killey. She is a resident of Bonnie Doon, has been tracking the low-income camping ordinance issue.